الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا أرحم الراحمين. We continue inshallah on our study of the life of the first successor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion, the first man to embrace Islam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. We got to study together, alhamdulillah, so far Abu Bakr's life before Islam, the first few years in Mecca where Abu Bakr embraced Islam and he put his money into the service of the new religion. And then the major event of Al-Hijrah, where Abu Bakr was the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that accompanied him on that important trip from Mecca to Medina. And then we, last session, alhamdulillah, studied few events that happened during the Madani phase of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We get to the few days that preceded the death, the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are at the beginning of Rabi' al-Awwal, of the 10th year after Hijrah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets sick and he started having fever. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before, 3 days before his departure, his death, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stops, he could not lead the prayer. He could not go to the mosque, to the masjid, and lead the prayer with the companions. So he asked Aisha, when the salah time came, he said to her, to his wife and Abu Bakr's daughter Aisha, مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس. He told Aisha, ask Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. Ask Abu Bakr to become the imam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sick, and he was the first one to be appointed to lead the prayer in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive. Aisha did not want her father to lead the prayer. She did not want, she knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very ill. And she was afraid that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam may die. And her father would be the replacement for the salah for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And people may get pessimistic. And they may feel like because Abu Bakr was leading the prayer, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. And we have to understand that the society they lived in, they had a lot of pessimistic and a lot of superstitious ideas that were still there in the minds of many people that newly embraced Islam. So she said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, inna Aba Bakrin rajulun asif. Asif means, sari' al-buka, means he cries easily. Abu Bakr is a man who cries really easily. وَإِنَّهُ مَتَى يَقُمْ مَقَامَكَ لَا يُسْمِعُ النَّاسِ. And then when Abu Bakr will lead the prayer, people will not hear what he says because he would be crying. His speech would be garbled and he would not be able, people would not be able to understand him. فَلَوْ أَمَرْتَ عُمَرْ. Why don't you ask Umar to lead the prayer? Because Umar was known to have great voice and he would, people would be able to hear him. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said again, "Muru Aba Bakrin falyusalli binnas." Then she asked Hafsa. She asked Hafsa, who's another wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She's Umar's daughter, and she said, "Why don't you ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell your father to ask Umar?" So she wanted that to happen again. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna kunna antunna sawahibu Yusuf." مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس. That you are indeed the women around Yusuf, the ones that had al-kaid, they had the plotting. Ask Abu Bakr, command Abu Bakr so he would lead the prayer. And then when a man, Abdullah ibn Zam'ah, came out from the Prophet's house to ask Abu Bakr, he did not find Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was not in the masjid. So he said, who would be next in line to lead the prayer? And he saw Umar. So he asked Umar, actually, to lead the prayer. And Umar started leading the prayer, and his voice reached the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was laying down. And he heard, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard Umar's voice. And then he got mad, he got angry. And he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yarda Allahu dhalika wa rasuluh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not accept that, or his prophet, that Abu Bakr is present and Umar would be leading the prayer. So Umar heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that. And he apologized to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked Abdullah ibn Zam'ah, what kind of position you put me into? You asked me to lead the prayer when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you to ask Abu Bakr. Abdullah ibn Zam'ah said, well, I did not find Abu Bakr and I thought you would be next in line to lead the prayer. And indeed, after that one prayer, Abu Bakr was the imam for the 3 days. And that there is a great signal from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Muslim ummah. Now the leader of the ummah was leading the prayer in the Masjid al-Nabawi. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked next in line, who is Abu Bakr, to lead the prayer. So there was a major hint, a signal to the Muslim ummah that Abu Bakr would be the successor. He is entitled. He is the one that has the qualification to lead the prayer. And that would be an important issue on the day of the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On Monday, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got better in the morning, he looked at the musalleen and he smiled. He got out and he spoke to them. Abu Bakr felt that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was getting better. And then he did not go to visit his wife. Qum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. His wife, Asma bint Umays, who lived in the place of As-Sanh. So he asked, or in some narration it was Bintu Kharija, one of the two wives. But her house was outside Medina in a place called As-Sanh. And she had missed her time with Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr wanted to go visit her and check on her and make sure that his wife and his house was okay. So he came and asked the permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave him that Monday, that morning, to go see his wife in the area of As-Sanh, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grants him that permission, and Abu Bakr leaves. And we know on that morning that most of the Sahaba were not around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except the people of his house, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away and went and joined Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Rafiq al-A'la. So Abu Bakr heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed. So he hurried back from this area of Al-Sanah. At the same time, the Muslimin were confused. They were agitated. They were shocked. They were stunned with the news that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed. And Umar was angry. And Umar said, Wallahi innahu ma mat. That I heard some hypocrites claiming that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. Wallahi, he did not die. وَلَكِنَّهُ ذَهَبَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ كَمَا ذَهَبَ مُوسَى ابْنُ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ وَقَدْ غَابَ عَنْ قَوْمِهِ 40 لَيْلَةً ثُمَّ رَجَعَ إِلَيْهِمْ بَعْدَ أَنْ قِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَاتْ. He said he is just like Musa. He went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be with him for 40 nights and he will come back. And people said that he died. وَاللَّهِ لَيَرْجِعَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He said, Wallahi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come back. وَلَيُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِي رِجَالٍ وَأَرْجُلَهُمْ. And he would cut hands and legs of people that claim that he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has died. And in this commotion, in this chaos, and in this confusion, Abu Bakr comes back. And Abu Bakr enters the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he did not look to Umar, he did not look to any of the Muslims, and he walked right into the room. And he, of course, had the ability to walk into that room because it was the room of his daughter, Aisha, and he could go in there with her being in there. And he looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He uncovered his face and he looked at him and he said, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي أَمَّا الْمَوْتَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ فَقَدْ ذُقْتَهَا ثُمَّ لَنْ يُصِيبَكَ بَعْدَهَا مَوْتَةً أَبَدًا طِبْتَ حَيًّا وَطِبْتَ مَيِّتًا. And he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kissed his face and he said, this is the death that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed and ordained upon you. And after this time, you shall never see death again. You are good alive, and you were good alive, and you are good dead. And then he walked out of the room, and Umar was still loud. He was still speaking to people. He was threatening that he will cut hands and cut legs and kill those who say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, "Ala rislika ya Umar." Take it easy, Umar. Umar did not look at him. He continued on, and Abu Bakr continued to say, "Ala rislika ya Umar, ala rislika ya Umar." And then Umar would not pay attention. He was completely furious. He was completely stunned. And then Abu Bakr gets up on the minbar, and people started leaving Umar and paying attention to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr said, in this great position, in this dangerous time we see when a prophet leaves and dies, when a prophet passes, then many things can happen. We saw what happened when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted Jesus Christ to him, how much confusion that left in the Christian ummah. And the same thing could have happened if people listened to Umar and started making story about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being dead and not being dead and joining Allah or not joining Allah. It would be a very confusing thing. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was only a human being, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said over and over again. And then Abu Bakr got up on the minbar and he said, أيها الناس إنه من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات. Those who were worshipping Muhammad, then Muhammad died. ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. But those who worshipped Allah, then Allah is indeed alive and Allah does not die. Allah will not die. So those who worship Muhammad, their God died. But those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they let them know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hayy, and he will not die. And then he recited this verse, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And then he said, Muhammad, he recited the verse, Muhammad indeed is only but a prophet, and there has been prophets before him. Has he died? If he had died or killed, then you would turn on your heels. That means you will go back into kufr, into unbelieving. And those who turn back on their heels against Islam, then they will not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall reward those who are grateful to him. And then Umar said, Wallahi, when I heard this verse, as if I heard this verse for the first time. He asked, is this verse in the book of Allah? Now Umar, he knows Allah, the book of Allah, he knows the Quran, but as if he heard it for the first time. And he said, فَعَقَرْتُ حَتَّى وَقَعْتُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Then my knees could not hold me straight, and I fell down to the ground. And then I knew indeed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had died. Later on, Umar explained what happened. Explained what was his position. Why was he so confused? And then the next day he corrects it as he will go by. But one time he was walking with Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them both. And then he said that Umar was hitting his leg with his staff, with his stick. And then he looked at Abdullah ibn Abbas and he said, Ya Abdullah, do you know why I said what I said the day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died? هَلْ تَدْرِي مَا حَمَلَنِي عَلَى مَقَالَةِ الَّتِي قُلْتُ حِينَ تُوفِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah said, لا أدري يا أمير المؤمنين. I don't know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was Khalifa then. Then he said, Umar said, Wallahi, فَإِنَّهُ وَاللَّهِ إِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي حَمَلَنِي عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا إِنِّي كُنْتُ أَقْرَأُ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. Only I said that because I read a verse in the Qur'an, I read ayah in the Qur'an Kareem that says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we indeed made you a nation in the middle, or a nation of moderation. So you will be witnesses on mankind, and the Prophet will be a witness over you. And he said, I interpreted that verse that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will stay among us, will stay with his nation, and he shall bear witness over his nation until the day of judgment, and he shall not die until that time. And this is why I said what I said. He said, فَوَاللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُ لَأَظُنُّ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ سَيَبْقَى فِي أُمَّتِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم حَتَّى يَشْهَدَ عَلَيْهَا بِآخِرِ عَمَالِهَا. Now later on, the scholars interpreted and explained this verse that being witness on mankind is with our deeds. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would be witness over us with his deed. Like if people said, we cannot fast, we cannot make qiyam al-layl, we cannot tolerate the oppression, we cannot take this hardship, then he would be a witness that he underwent, he had to go through this, he had to go through long nights of worship, he had to go through oppression, he had to go through persecution, and he tolerated, and he would be witness over our deeds in the day of judgment. On that very day, on the day of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam death, another very important event happened, which is called the event of As-Saqifa. The place of Saqifa is a place that the Ansar used to gather, and it's similar to Dar al-Nadwa in Mecca, where the Quraysh would gather and solve their issues. The people of Bani Sa'ida had this place called Saqifa. Saqifa is basically a place that is roofed. It's like a hall. Similar to a hall, and people used to gather there. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died on that very same day, a man came to Umar radiallahu anhu. And this is who is narrating this hadith, is Umar ibn al-Khattab. This is on the authority of Umar, that event. And he said, اخرج إلي يا ابن الخطاب. Come to me, ya Umar. Come over, I want to talk to you, Umar. Umar said, إليك عني. فَإِنَّا عَنْكَ مَشَاغِيلٌ. Leave me alone. I mean, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just died. It's a very sad event. He said, don't you see how busy we are? How saddened we are? Then the man said, إِنَّ الْأَنصَارَ قَدْ اجْتَمَعُوا فِي سَقِيفَةِ بَنِي سَاعِدَةِ فَأَدْرِكُوهُمْ قَبْلَ أَن يُحْدِثُوا أَمْرًا يَكُونُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ فِيهِ حَرْبٌ. He said, the Ansar, Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj, have gathered in the place of Saqifat Bani Sa'idah. And he said, Ya Umar, I want you to go and check it out, see what's going on, because this may end up in a war between us and them, meaning the Muhajireen, Al-Ansar, if you don't catch this before something happened. So obviously, the issue was the succession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the leader of Medina, at a very narrow point of view, but the leader of this ummah, and in general, has passed. Who's going to be the successor? Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to be the new appointed leader of this nation, of this ummah? Then Umar said, he went to Abu Bakr and he said, انطلق بنا إلى إخواننا من هؤلاء الأنصار. Then he said, let's go to meet the Ansar. Then it was Abu Bakr and Umar. And then they walked and they saw another man, Amir, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. And he said, we've seen Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, and then Abu Bakr held his hand, and he grabbed him, and he said, come on with us. So now it is Abu Bakr, Umar, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Three men of al-Muhajireen going to meet with the Ansar. He said, on the way, we saw two men of the Ansar. There were Uwaym ibn Sa'idah and Ma'd ibn Adi. There were two people that are veterans of the day of Badr, but they are from the Ansar. And they saw the Abu Bakr, Umar, and Abu Ubaidah walking to meet with the Ansar. And they asked them, where are you going? And they said, we want to go meet with our brothers, the Ansar. They said, no. Just settle your issue between you, choose your leader, and then come and tell them. Abu Bakr said, no, let's go meet with them, wa alaykum salam, and then we will talk with them, and then we will settle this issue. So the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still on his deathbed, and this issue sprung up already. What happened there is Sa'd ibn Ubadah. Sa'd ibn Ubadah was a very important leader from the elite of Medina before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to it. He embraced Islam, and he became one of the elite of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with him. And he was the best man of the Ansar, that is well qualified to be the leader of the Ansar, thus, in their point of view, the leader of Medina in general. So Sa'd ibn Ubadah was very sick on that day, and he was carried to the Saqifa, as important that was, to settle this issue and for him to be appointed as the new leader of the Muslim Ummah before the Muhajireen do anything. And what he said, Sa'd ibn Ubadah gave a speech that day. And here's what he said. And his voice was so weak, so he appointed a man to say after him what he wanted people to hear. And this is what he said. So Sa'd ibn Ubadah said, after he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْأَنصَارِ لَكُمْ سَابِقَةٌ فِي الدِّينِ وَفَضِيلَةٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لَيْسَتْ لِقَبِيلَةٍ مِنَ الْعَرَبِ. He said to the Ansar that you have a precedent in Islam, that you became the first Muslims to embrace Islam outside Mecca, and this is not to any tribes in Arabia. إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَبِثَ فِي قَوْمِهِ بِضْعَ عَشْرَ سَنَةً. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed more than 10 years in Mecca among his own people. يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ وَخَلْعِ الْأَنْبَادِ وَالْأَوْثَانِ فَمَا آمَنَ بِهِ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا رِجَالٌ قَلِيلٌ. That he said he stayed in Mecca for more than 10 years, asking people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Rahman, and to despise and do not worship the idols, and only few men of al-Muhajireen responded to his call. مَا كَانُوا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَمْنَعُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They could not protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the few people that embraced Islam of al-Muhajirin. They could not give protection to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا أَنْ يُعِزُّوا دِينَهُ. And they could not support the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا أَنْ يَدْفَعُوا عَنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ ضَيْمًا عَمُّ بِهِ. Then they could not even defend themselves against any danger that would come to them. حَتَّى إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْفَضِيلَةَ ساق إليكم الكرامة وخصكم بالنعمة فرزقكم الله الإيمان به وبرسوله والمنع له ولأصحابه والإعزاز له ولدينه والجهاد لأعدائه. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to bestow His grace and honor upon you. So He gave you the Iman in your hearts, and He made you the supporters and the suppliers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He gave you Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emigrate from Mecca to Medina to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you the mujahideen. You were supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with your own swords, with your own bodies. فَكُنْتُمْ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ عَدُوِّهِ مِنْكُمْ وَأَثْقَلَهُمْ عَلَىٰ عَدُوِّهِ مِنْ غَيْرِكُمْ حَتَّى اسْتَقَامَتِ الْعَرَبُ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا. Then you have been very strong against the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and against the enemies of Islam until this entire Arabia, the entire Jazirat al-Arab became Muslim and was subdued by your swords to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by your protection. حَتَّى أَثْخَنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِرَسُولِهِ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ وَدَانَتْ لَهُ بِأَسْيَافِكُمُ الْعَرَبِ وَتَوَفَّاهُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ عَنْكُمْ رَاضٍ وَبِكُمْ قَرِيرَ عَيْنِ اسْتَبِدُّوا بِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ دُونَ النَّاسِ. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, and his heart was pleased with you, and he was in content with your deeds. Then استبدوا mean take it all. It's all yours. This issue of succession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is for you. It's not for anybody else among Arab. And he was meaning especially that the Muhajireen. The Muhajireen now, to them, were the refugees that came from Mecca for shelter, for protection. Now, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, those refugees now want to be the rulers and the governors of Medina. Now, they were sheltered only 10 years ago, and now they want to take this issue and become the governors of the city of Medina. To the Ansar, that was a big issue. And to Sa'd ibn Ubadah, for him, he was one of the honorable elite people, the leaders of Medina, to see these refugees as he see them, although they're brothers, his brothers in Islam, coming into Medina and then want to claim that they are the rulers of Medina. That was a hard thing for him to accept. And then people said, well, the people of Muhajirin, the people of Mecca that came with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, we are the Muhajirin. We are the first to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said, as-sabiquna as-sabiquun. Those who are there first, they are the one who are preferable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. They would say, we tolerated the persecution. We were the one that suffered the most for this religion. We are the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the rest of Arabia will not accept you as leaders, but they will accept us because we are Quraysh. From Quraysh, we are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then some of the Ansar said, well, then we will suggest that we will have two commanders, we'll have two rulers, we'll have two governments. One from Al-Muhajirin and one from Al-Ansar. Sa'd said, وَهَذَا أَوَّلُ الْوَهْنِ. Then this is the beginning of our weakness. When we will have two leaders, if we will have more than one leader to lead this nation, then this is the beginning of this nation, of the weakness. Alhamdulillah, now we have how many leaders of this nation? SubhanAllah. But he said, if we have more than one leader, then that is the beginning of the weakness of this ummah. Then, while they were discussing this issue among them, now this is all Ansar, Umar narrates that we walked into this commotion. It was me, it was Abu Bakr, and it was Abu Ubaidah, Amir ibn al-Jarrah. And I saw a man covered. I saw a man who was like shivering with fever and sick and sitting there, and I said, who's this? And they said, this is Sa'd ibn Ubadah. Now Sa'd was very sick in that place. And then a man came from the Ansar and he started giving us a speech, giving it to Abu Bakr, Umar and Abu Ubaidah. And he said, أَمَّا بَعْدُ فَنَحْنُ أَنصَارُ اللَّهِ وَكَتِيبَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَنْتُمْ يَا مَعَاشِرَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ حَيٌّ مِنَّا وَقَدْ بَثَّتْ إِلَيْنَا دَافَّةٌ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ أَنْتُمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَنْ تَخْتَزِلُونَا مِنْ أَصْلِنَا وَتَحْضُنُوا الْأَمْرَ مِنْ دُونِنَا فأرى أن يلي الأمر رجلان أحدهما منكم والآخر منا. A man came from the Ansar to give the point of view that they just discussed, and he said that you are Muhajirin, you were in under our protection, and you were our guests in Medina, and we welcome you, and we supported you. And now we think that after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should be in succession, we should be the leaders of Medina. But if you will not accept this, then we suggest that we should have two leaders, one from your side and one from our side. And then Umar said, I have been preparing all the way, I have been preparing things to say to them. And I have the speech ready in my mind. He said, وَقَدْ كُنْتُ زَوَّرْتُ فِي نَفْسِي مَقَالَةً أَعْجَبَتْنِي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَقُومَ بِهَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ أَبِي بَكَرْ. I wanted to say it before Abu Bakr. So he wanted to pave the way for Abu Bakr. And he said, I was about to start now giving them our point of view. And Abu Bakr said, عَلَى رِسْلِكْ. He said, take it easy or just stay quiet, Umar. He said, فَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ أُغْضِبَهُ وَقَدْ كَانَ أَحْلَمَ مِنِّي وَأَوْقَرْ. Abu Bakr was more patient and he was more quiet and he had more stature. So I did not want to make him angry. He wanted to speak, I let him speak. And then he said, فَتَكَلَّمَ أَبُو بَكَرٍ. Then Abu Bakr gave him a speech. And he said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا تَرَكَ مِنْ كَلِمَةٍ excuse me, مَا تَرَكَ مِنْ كَلِمَةٍ أَعْجَبَتْنِي مِمَّا كُنْتُ قَدْ زَوَّرْتُ فِي نَفْسِي إِلَّا أَتَى بِمِثْلِهَا أَوْ أَفْضَلَ مِنْهَا. He said, there is not one thing that I wanted to say unless he said it, or said it even better than what I was preparing to say. So what he said, وَمِمَّا قَالَ, from the things that he said, he said, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لَوْ سَلَكَ النَّاسُ وَادِيًا وَسَلَكَ الْأَنصَارُ وَادِيًا لَسَلَكْتُ وَادِي الْأَنصَارِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if all people go into one valley and Ansar went into a valley, then I would go into the valley of Ansar. And then he said, وَمَا ذَكَرْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَأَنْتُمْ أَهْلُهُ. Everything you said about yourselves and your support for this religion and your jihad is true. And you are truthful in what you are saying. He's saying you are actually indeed what you are saying you are. Everything you claim is absolutely true. But, وَلَكِنَّ الْعَرَبَ وَلَكِنَّ الْعَرَبَ لَا تَعْرِفُ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ إِلَّا لِهَذَا الْحَيِّ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. But Arabs, the people that we are struggling and we are debating who's going to govern them, they know only loyalty to this family of Quraysh, to the people, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هُمْ أَوْسَطُ الْعَرَبِ دَارًا وَأَنْسَابًا. He said they are from the best elite families of Arabia. Now, understand the situation in Arabia at that time. Family and the stature and where you come from and who's your father and who's your tribe and who's your clan made a lot of difference. And people respected Quraysh, but not many people respected Al-Aws or Al-Khazraj. He said, then you would divide the Arabs. Then the Arabs will not follow you. You will not follow your command if you are the leaders. وَلَقَدْ رَضِيتُ لَكُمْ أَحَدَ هَذَيْنِ الرَّجُلَيْنِ فَبَايِعُوا أَيَّهُمَا شِئْتُمْ. And I have brought you one of these two men, Umar and Abu Ubaidah. So give the pledge to either one that you would choose out of them. He said, either give bay'ah to Abu Ubaidah or give the bay'ah to Umar. And Umar said, I loved everything he said except this piece. I liked everything he said until he got there because he said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَرِهْتُ مِنْ مَقَالَتِهِ غَيْرَ هَذَا. وَلَئِنْ أُقَدَّمْ فَتُضْرَبَ عُنُقِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي ذَلِكَ مِنْ إِثْمٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَتَأَمَّرَ عَلَى قَوْمٍ فِيهِمْ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. He said, wallahi, if they would just order that my neck would be cut and my head would be separated from my body, it is better for me to become an emir, to become a commander or a leader on a group of people where Abu Bakr is present. He said, I cannot become a leader where Abu Bakr is. He knew what Abu Bakr is and who Abu Bakr is. And then Al-Ansar said, they started the debate now. Al-Ansar said, now this is the greatest example of democracy and shura and debate. I mean, this happened 1420 years ago or so. And this is the best example of what happens now in the best democracies in the world. It's a debate over who should be the leader of a nation. And Ansar went up and said, وَاللَّهِ مَا نَحْسِدُكُمْ عَلَىٰ خَيْرٍ سَاقَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَحَدٌ مِّنْ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْنَا مِنْكُمْ. That we are not in envy to you, al-muhajireen, because you are the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is nobody on the face of the earth that is more beloved to our heart than you are. That we love you, and it's not a matter of envy. وَلَكِنَّا نُشْفِقُ مِمَّا بَعْدَ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ. They're presenting their point of view. He said, we are afraid what would happen after this day. فَلَوْ جَعَلْتُمُ الْيَوْمَ رَجُلًا مِّنْكُمْ فَإِذَا هَلَكَ اخْتَرْنَا رَجُلًا مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ مَكَانَهُ فَإِذَا هَلَكَ اخْتَرْنَا رَجُلًا مِّنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ مَكَانَهُ كَذَلِكَ أَبَدًا وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ أَجْدَرَ أَن يُشْفِقَ الْقُرَشِيَّ إِنْ زَاغَ أَن يَنْقَضَّ عَلَيْهِ الْأَنصَارِي وَأَن يُشْفِقَ الْأَنصَارِيَّ إِنْ زَاغَ أَن يَنْقَضَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرَشِي. I have to give the whole speech in Arabic here, but what he is saying is, let's alternate. Let's make the first successor from you, but the one that would follow from us. So, if al-Quraysh, if the people of Quraysh, the Muhajireen, wants to transgress over the Ansar, they would think, oh well, the next Khalifa will be from Ansar, let's not do anything to them. And the same thing from people of Quraysh, when the Ansari is Khalifa, they say, if we are wrong to our brothers, well, the next Khalifa will take revenge from us. It will avenge to the, so nobody will transgress over one another. Let's just alternate this Khilafa. Umar said, لا ينبغي هذا الأمر ولا يصلح إلا لرجل من قريش. Umar said, this thing, this Khilafa, will not work. He's saying this, it will not work unless the man is from Quraysh. Because the Arab, the people of Arabia will not accept unless it is a man from Quraysh. Now we saw later on that even when it was a man of Quraysh, people rebelled against that man of Quraysh, respecting Abu Bakr. Still, but they would still, I mean, what would happen if it was a man from the Ansar? They would have no chance of keeping Arabia together. And then, Al-Habbab ibn Munzir, one from the Ansar, went up and he said to the Ansar, "Imluku alaykum amrakum." Hold tight to your position. Do not listen to Umar. Do not listen to Abu Bakr. فَإِنَّ النَّاسَ فِي فِيئِكُمْ وَفِي ظُلِّكُمْ. They are in your land and they are in your city. You know, it started getting a little bit harder, this discussion. وَلَنْ يَجْرُؤَ مُجْتَرِئٌ عَلَى خِلَافِكُمْ. Nobody would dare to differ with you. وَلَنْ يُصْدِرَ النَّاسُ إِلَّا عَنْ رَأِيكُمْ. أَنْتُمْ أَهَلُ الْعِزِّ وَالثَّرْوَةِ. You are the one with the money. You are the one with the land. You are the one in your own city. وَأُولُو الْعَدَدِ وَالْمَنْعَ. You are one with the numbers. You are the plenty. We know the Muhajirin were few among the Ansar that were so many. He said, أَبَا هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا مَا سَمِعْتُمْ فَمِنَّا أَمِيرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ أَمِيرٌ. He said, we will not bargain, we will not leave our position unless you put a leader from you, and there was a leader from us, and started the commotion, and they continued to debate, and then Umar said, Al-Habbab said to Umar, أَمَا وَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ شِئْتُمْ لَنُعِيدَنَّهَا جَزْعًا. That means, if you want, we will fight over this. I mean, it got to the point of really war. And then Umar said, إِذَنْ يَقْتُلُكَ اللَّهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would kill you. And then Al-Habbab said, بَلْ إِيَّاكَ يَقْتُلْ. No, Allah will kill you. Now, I mean, he is daring to really respond to one of the important sahaba, Umar ibn al-Khattab. This is how this issue got to that point. Then something happened that was very astonishing. Something happened that when the iman goes above the loyalty to your family and to your tribe and to your city. A man came up and his name was Bashir ibn Sa'd, radiallahu anhu. Bashir ibn Sa'd was from Ansar, was from Medina. And he wanted to speak. Now everybody expected him to say what Sa'd ibn Ubadah was saying and what Al-Habbab ibn Munzir was saying and to present the point of view of Ansar. But this is what this man said. He said, Ya ma'ashara al-Ansar. He did not speak to the Muhajireen. He spoke to his own people. He said, Inna wallahi, la'in kunna uli fadilatin fi jihadi mushrikeen, wa sabiqatin fi hadha ad-deen, ma aradna bihi illa rida rabbina wa ta'ati nabiyina. That if we have precedent in this religion, and if we have struggled and strived for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only thing we wanted when we were doing that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we wanted to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're saying that you won the Khilafah because you were doing this. He said, is that what you had in mind when you were doing it? You were doing it because of this? Because of Khilafah? Or did you want it because you wanted to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَن نَسْتَطِيلَ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِذَلِكَ. Then it's not for us, for our position, to tell people that's why they should obey us, because we obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. Muhammad indeed is from Quraysh. وَإِنَّ قَوْمَهُ أَحَقَّ بِهِ وَأَوْلَى. And his tribe, his clan, is better indeed, have the due right to his succession. وَلَا يَرَانِ اللَّهُ أُنَازِعَهُمْ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ أَبَدًا. And Allah will never see me debate or argue with them over the succession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Then fear Allah. وَلَا تُخَالِفُوهُمْ وَلَا تُنَازِعُوهُمْ. Do not differ with them and do not argue with them. Al-Hubab ibn al-Munzir, he looked at him astonished. He said, يَا بَشِيرَ ابْنُ سَعْد عَقَقْتَ عَقَاقْ. What are you saying, Bashir ibn Sa'd? Are you rebelling against your own family? Are you now saying against your own tribe? Against the Ansar? أَنَفِسْتَ عَلَى ابْنِ عَمِّكَ فِي الْإِمَارَةِ. Are you competing against your own cousin with this leadership, with this commandership of Islam? Bashir said, لا والله ولكني كرهت أن أنازع قوما حقا جعله الله لهم. He said, no, but I would not argue with people for their own right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself gave it to him, to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to become from al-Khazraj, he would give them to a man from al-Khazraj. But he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this prophethood to Quraysh, and I will not argue with them over that. Al-Aws started listening. Now, Sa'd ibn Ubadah was from al-Khazraj. Al-Aws looked, well, said, well, maybe if this happened today and al-Khazraj became the Khalifa, become from the Khazraj, and what will happen to us or Aws? So then another conflict started between the Ansar himself, between the Aws and the Khazraj, and it was a great commotion. Another man was Zayd ibn Thabit. Zayd ibn Thabit is also from the Ansar. He was a young man of Ansar. He was about 21, 22 year old at that time. And he was one of the people, the writers of the Quran. So he came up and he said the same thing that Bashir ibn Sa'd said. He supported the Muhajireen. Now there is more than one Ansari are supporting the Muhajireen. The tide started shifting, but there is still a lot of commotion. Abu Bakr said, Jazakumullahu min hayyin khayra wa thabbata qailakum. Ama wallahi law qultum ghayra dhalika lama salahnakum. And then Abu Bakr supported these two people. He said, may Allah reward you for your position. May Allah reward you for what you are saying, because that is the right thing to say. And then Ibn Sa'd, Bashir ibn Sa'd, the first Ansari that spoke, came towards Abu Bakr and Umar, and he narrates that he said, that I heard Abu Bakr telling Umar, ابسط يدك نبايع لك. Abu Bakr told Umar, give me your hand, so I will give you the pledge. Umar said, أنت أفضل مني. You, Abu Bakr, are better than me. Abu Bakr said to Umar, now these people are not coming there to ask for the leadership, but they want to settle an issue. They want to make sure that the entire Muslim Ummah stays united. And they knew it will not be united under Ansar. They don't care. Umar said that my neck would be cut before I become Khalifa. Abu Bakr is asking Umar, please become Khalifa. They don't want it. They don't want it. But they want to settle the issue. Abu Bakr said to Umar, you are stronger than me. أنت أقوى مني. Then Umar said, فَإِنَّ قُوَّتِي لَكَ مَعَ فَضْلِكَ. Then I will give you my strength. I will become your soldier. I will give you my strength. مَعَ فَضْلِكَ. I cannot be better than you are. You are better than me. You can benefit from my strength. But I cannot be a leader over you. I cannot do this. مُدَّ يَدَكَ. لا ينبغي. And then Umar said, and Abu Ubaidah said to Abu Bakr, لا ينبغي لأحد بعد رسول الله أن يكون فوقك يا أبا بكر. Nobody can command you after Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت صاحب الغار. You are the man in the cave with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وثاني اثنين. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said about you that you are the second of two. You are mentioned in the Quran. What are we arguing about? وَأَمَّرَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حِينَ اشْتَكَى فَصَلَّيْتَ بِالنَّاسِ. And you are the one that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم chose to become the imam and lead the prayer when he was sick and ill and dying. فَأَنْتَ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ. You are the most qualified person for this succession. And then Umar came up to give the pledge to Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr reluctantly, but he needed to resolve this issue. If they're gonna continue debating, and the Ansar continue debating, and then they would leave that place and nothing would happen. So he stretched his hand. And before Umar gets to his hand, Bashir ibn Sa'd came and he put his hand before Umar, and he was an Ansari, and he was the first one to give the pledge to Abu Bakr as the first Khalifa and the first successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Usayd ibn Hubayr came and he's from the Aws, and he gave the pledge, and then the people starting giving the pledge one after the other. Umar, Abu Ubaidah, the Ansar, one after the other, and Sa'd ibn Ubadah was still laying sick and ill in the corner of that place, and then the whole issue was settled with that. Sa'd ibn Ubadah never gave the pledge to Abu Bakr. He held that, and he never gave his pledge and never gave bay'ah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And the bay'ah was on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal on the 11th year after Hijrah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed. He never gave pledge to anybody. Abu Bakr died and Sa'd was alive, and he never gave the pledge to Umar either. And then he went down and he made jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he died without giving the pledge at all to anybody.
But he
was not in opposition, he did not try to do anything, he just did not give his pledge to anyone. And no one followed him. No one followed him. And we will talk about that a little bit more, inshallah. The next morning, now this is a special bay'ah. The first bay'ah on the first day was limited only to the people, the elite, the honorable, the representatives, so to speak, that were in that place of a saqifa. The next morning, Abu Bakr went up to the minbar to speak and to tell people what happened and to ask now for the general bay'ah, for the all Muslims, to give the pledge to him, as he was chosen. Before he spoke, Umar stood up and he said, Can I say a word before you do? See this great position of Umar here. Umar, the day before, was telling people that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not die. And he was like Musa, and he went up and he's going to come back. And many people heard him, but not many people heard him correcting his position or accepting the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. So he was afraid that there may be fitna, there may be miscommunication, there will be a confusion. He is one of the elite of Sahaba, and many people will take the teaching from him. So he thought that many people will get confused about the issue of the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he went up and he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ قُلْتُ لَكُمْ بِالْأَمْسِ مَقَالًا. I said yesterday something. He said about Musa and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not die. مَا كَانَتْ إِلَّا عَنْ رَأِيِ. It was my own opinion. مَا وَجَدْتُهَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. I did not find this in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I said was not based on Qur'an. Now we see how honest. This is what, you know, people that subhanAllah, this, I'm saying this to really myself. That people who get up and speak of their religion and say things, if they deviated and digressed and they said their own opinion, they should tell people that this is my opinion. I'm telling you this, but this is not based on a book or the sunnah. And this is what Umar said. This was not in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا كَانَتْ عَهْدًا عَيْدَهُ إِلَيَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And it was not something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me. So it was my own, it's a figment of my own imagination. I made this up. I said that. وَلَكِنِّي كُنْتُ أَرَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَيُدَبِّرَ أَمْرَنَا حَتَّى يَكُونَ آخِرَنَا. But my opinion and my hope was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stay among us until the last of us leave this life, and he would be managing the affairs of this ummah till the day of judgment. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبْقَى فِيكُمْ كِتَابَهُ الَّذِي بِهِ هَدَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left you the book, the Qur'an. With him, with this Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he guided the Prophet himself. So the guidance is with you, even that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left you. فَإِنْ اَعْتَصَمْتُمْ بِهِ هَدَاكُمْ لِمَا كَانَ هَدَاهُ اللَّهُ. If you hold on tight to the book of Allah, then you will be guided the same way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was guided. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ جَمَعَ أَمْرَكُمْ عَلَى خَيْرِكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has united your opinion on the best of you, the Prophet, the Prophet's companion, صاحب رسول الله أبو بكر, وثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار, and the second man in the cave with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأولى الناس بأموركم فقوموا فبايعوه, and he is the best man to handle your affairs, so get up and give him the pledge, and people in the masjid started giving the pledge to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And by that moment, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq became, by the private bay'ah, by the private pledge and the general pledge, the first successor of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Abu Bakr gets up and gives a speech. Now this speech, and I listened to it and I timed it, being recited, narrated by a man by another speaker, and it took him about 50 minutes. And I want to just say it in Arabic, and we'll see how long it will take me to give this entire speech. And then we will analyze it, and we will see this speech is better than any constitution. And it's really, I mean, it's like a State of the Union. How long does the State of the Union usually take? Now, it happens every year. This is the state of the Ummah. This is how the Ummah should be managed by the successor and the Khalifa. Let's say how long it took him to say all of this, and we'll analyze it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He said, أَمَّا بَعْدُ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ فَإِنِّي وُلِّيتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَسْتُ بِخَيْرِكُمْ فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِ الصِّدْقُ أَمَانَةٌ وَالْكَذِبُ خِيَانَةٌ والضعيف فيكم قوي عندي حتى أريح عليه حقه إن شاء الله والقوي فيكم ضعيف عندي حتى آخذ منه الحق إن شاء الله لا يدع قوم الجهاد في سبيل الله إلا ضربهم الله بالذل ولا تشيع الفاحشة في قوم قط إلا عمهم الله بالبلاء أطيعوني ما أطعت الله ورسوله فإن عصيت الله ورسوله فلا طاعة لي عليكم قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله. It's over. That was the whole speech, and we'll go over it sentence by sentence and translate it, and then we'll see how it defined the political course for every successor that wanted to follow the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أيها الناس وليت عليكم ولست بخيركم. All people, I have been given the commandership over you, but I'm not the best of you. This is the first principle, that I am one of you. I may not be the best, but he was the best. There's no doubt about that. There was nobody better than Abu Bakr to take over. But his humbleness, his humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First principle. فَإِنْ أَسْحَحْسَنْتُ فَأَعِينُونِي وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي If I do good, then help me. And if I don't do well, then guide me to the right way. Then straighten me up. Now this is the second principle of hukm. First principle is I have to be of you, of the Muslim. The second principle is the principle of shura. That if I do good, then you command me, you let me do it. But if I don't do, you give me shura, you give me advice, and you straighten me up. The third principle, as-sidqu amana wal-kadhibu khiyana. Two words he said, truthful, is honesty and trustworthiness, being truthful. And lying is betrayal. That means my policy with you, my people, my subjects, will be the truth. I shall tell you the truth, and I shall govern by the truth. This is what he's saying. He's putting the rules. وَالضَّعِيفُ فِيكُمْ قَوِيٌّ عِنْدِي حَتَّى أُرِيحَ عَلَيْهِ حَقَّهِ That the weak among you is strong with me until I give him his right, due right back. That is the principle of fairness. The principle that you are all equal in front of the law and in front of the government. That the weakest of you and the meanest of you is the same to me. And nobody is strong in the eyes of the law and until we give him back his due right. وَالْقَوِيُّ فِيكُمْ ضَعِيفٌ عِنْدِي And there's nobody strong and nobody is above the law. حَتَّى أَخُذَ مِنْهُ الْحَقِّ If somebody wants to transgress against others and wants to take the rights from others, then I will be your defender. The defender for the impoverished people. And I will take your right for you. And then the other principle, لَا يَدَعُ قَوْمٌ الْجِهَادَ إِلَّا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا ضَرَبَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الذِّلِّ He said nobody would leave jihad, would not struggle and strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala insult them with humility. That if you want to have your dignity as a Muslim, you be strong and you be able to defend. Now this is the first successor after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them we have to have a strong ummah. We have to have an army. We have to be able to defend ourselves. And if we let that go, If we don't do this, then we will be insulted and we will be struck by humility. وَلَا تَشِيعُ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ قَطْ إِلَّا عَمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِالْبَلَاءِ The other principle, he said, if sin, fornication or indecent acts become common among people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hit them with trials and tribulation. He said that the essence of the government will be the clean acts, the behavior, will be the noble acts, will be the decency among people, and I will fight indecent acts. He means that the morale is going to be the essence of my government. أطيعوني ما أطعت الله ورسوله. Then obey me, as long as I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. فَإِذَا عَصَيْتُ اللَّهَ فَلَا طَاعَةَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ. And he's putting a very important principle. He said, as long as I obey Allah and His Prophet, as long as I go by the Qur'an and by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you have to obey me. Then this is your obligation to give me your obedience. Because it's important that the subjects would obey the leader. Otherwise there is no government. But then it is important that the leaders follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. And that was it. قُومُوا إِلَى صَلَاتِكُمْ يَرْحَمْكُمُ اللَّهِ. In about 50 seconds to a minute at most, he gave all these important principles of government, and he, alhamdulillah, followed them to the letter. And then those after him, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, and those good righteous Khalifa also followed it, like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and other people. They dependent on what Abu Bakr said in that 1 minute to govern Islam the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Muslim Ummah to be governed. And inshallah, with this speech, we will stop here. I'll open the floor for any questions or comments you may have, and we will continue after now Abu Bakr has been appointed as the Prophet's successor, as the Prophet's Khalifa, and we will study, inshallah, starting next session, the events that happened after the appointment of Abu Bakr as Khalifa al-Muslimin. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't buried yet. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried on Wednesday. He died on Monday. And this speech was on Tuesday. The event of Saqifah was Monday. It was the same day. Said, if you want to really go on and reflect on the principles of government in Islam and how they really followed it and how successful they were, the Khulafa al-Rashideen, in following these principles, this is the path to success. This is the path to having an ummah. And in 1 minute, and he said 16 hours was explained over that. And it can be more easily, subhanAllah. InshaAllah, we will reflect on them over and over again. And the door is open. This is more of a study group, inshallah. I would like to leave every time more for questions, comments, things that people want to bring and join in and supplement the initial subject, inshallah. So yes, jazakallah khair. If you want to bring anything, we'll give you time, inshallah. Yes. Yeah, this is the subject going to happen, inshallah, next. The question, I'm not trying to dodge it down, but we will speak of the bay'ah of Ali, how Ali gave his pledge. It was late, and some people say it about 6 months late. It was actually after Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her, passed, which was 6 months after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will speak of that a little bit at length, because people take this as a point of difference between Abu Bakr and Umar, and subhanAllah, have given people a lot of misunderstanding and misconception about that Abu Bakr has taken the right of Ali and etc. And especially we see that in the Shia sect. But I think we should spend more time about the facts and what is narrated in the books of Sirah and Sunnah about this particular position. Yeah, there were more people. Right. There were more people that gave pledge delayed, and the only person that never gave it was Sa'd ibn Ubadah. But they all gave it at the end. Yes. Some Sahaba left Medina, some of them went to Mecca, a lot of them went to Jihad. And we will see the next 2 years of the government of Abu Bakr, there was not a dull moment. And many of them, although lived in Medina, they had to leave on the battles of Ar-Ridda, and then they started going out to Persia and the Byzantine Roman Empire, and that's when Abu Bakr died, may Allah be pleased with him. Many of them then later on settled in what is today's Iraq and Syria and Jordan and Palestine and etc. Some of them went all the way to Turkey and died there, like Abu Ayyub al-Ansari died at the walls of Istanbul. So many of the Sahaba left Medina after that, and many, many Sahaba died in a battle of Yamama. It was the largest number of Sahaba killed in any battle. Yeah, most of the Hafizun, there was a brigade of the Hafizun that almost wiped out. So we will talk about that also, inshallah. There were many Sahaba lost. Part would attend this story or hear your CDs, he would definitely change his mind. The reason and why Abu Umar is more known in the Western culture and the people that study Islamic history than Abu Bakr is because of the conquest on the days of Umar. Now, if you look at the 10 years that Umar governed, it was the Ummah just exploded. I mean, 10 times, 20 times what they had. His armies were everywhere. He conquered, Persia was conquered on the days of Umar. Rome was conquered on the days of Umar, Byzantium. But Abu Bakr actually paved the way for that. Abu Bakr held what Umar could do. He put the nation together. Just from the event of one day that we spoke of, we see how pivotal his role was in this Ummah. Had he not been there, Allahu A'lam, what would have happened? It would have been impossible to see how the Ummah would stick together. There would be a Khalifa from Ansar, another Khalifa from Muhajirin, Khalifa from Ghatafan, an Imara in Al-Yemen, etc. It would have been a total chaos and Muslims would never have a united front. But then with Abu Bakr and what Abu Bakr's action is what happened to Umar later on, each one played a different role, probably as important. But most scholars, Muslim scholars, know that the role of Abu Bakr was more important than the role of Umar because it came at a more dangerous time.
Also, you might want to compare and discuss a little bit on what happened when Rasul Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
With that, with Abu Bakr positions, I mean, that's exactly what I wanted to allude to, is it could, exactly what happens to the disciples, it could happen to many of the Sahaba. It would get very confused about the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the position of Abu Bakr held him very strong. He was the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they saw his strength and his steadiness and his, he was steadfast, they knew that this is the truth, and that's what happened. And they heard the speech, and there was not a lot of confusion. And then Umar corrected himself the next day to leave no doubt at all of what happened, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human prophet that joined Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he died to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us learn more about this great stars in our Islamic history and Islamic life, and to follow in their footsteps to get the lessons that they left behind and to benefit from that into building our Islamic Ummah. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.